This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world, talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they navigate and experiment with their unique design. Today's a beautiful catch-up, and it's with the lovely Britta. Now, Britta's actually been on twice before, so this is her third time and third year. I was just really excited. I was just saying off air to Britta, I'm like, wow, I get to watch this evolution. We all get to watch our growth and evolution. So a little bit about Britta. Britta is a 1-4 reflector, and she has the cross of rulership. She's also the voice, the name, the person, the legend behind Aligned and Undefined. Welcome back.
Oh my gosh, it has been a journey since I've last been on here, Annie, and I cannot wait to get into it. Thank you for having me back for the third time. Third time's a charm.
Yeah, and just for a little bit of a brief backstory. So Britta came on, it would have been 3 years ago, at least over 2.5 years ago, and you were still very newish to human design then, I think, you know. And then you came back on in a catch-up a year later to see where you're at. And you had significant growth. Like you were still primary school teaching at that stage, full-time a primary school teacher, but you're also starting to study. And now I know what's happened. You know, you've completely moved away from your full-time primary school role. You've invested yourself, fully immersed yourself in your business, Aligned and Undefined. You've done extensive human design training now and Akashic records and, oh my gosh, all the things, but we're going to chat into that. Welcome back again. Talk to me. How's it been?
So excited. It has been such a journey. It has been the best of times and the worst of times and all in between. And yet I'm so grateful for all of it because I have grown so much. And I was telling you, Annie, before we started recording that I did go listen to my very first time on the podcast. I was listening to it yesterday. And I was like, I was really proud of like how far little Britta, 2-3 years ago, Britta had come from I was really proud of her in a lot of respects. And she sounded really wise in a lot of respects. And then at the same time, I was like, ooh, still got learning to do, girlfriend. So yeah, it's been such a beautiful journey these last couple years. And the last 7 months, I have been out of the classroom. I left that behind to start this new journey with my business and see where it takes me.
I want to ask because I'm nosy and because it's interesting, you know, because our first session, and correct me if I'm wrong here because I'm drawing on memory, you were in the higher grades in the middle school, I think you were teaching you, and that was challenging. It was met with some challenges, especially finding out you're a reflector. And then I think the second time we caught up, you'd kind of moved down to year two-ish, which you felt a little lot more comfortable with. What was the defining moment where you just went, no, this is not for me anymore. I cannot do this. Talk to us about that moment for you just going, I'm immersing myself now in me, in my business.
I don't think there was one moment. It was a series of moments that led up to the final decision, because the last time I spoke to you in like November of 2022, I still didn't know if I was leaving the classroom or not. I had been through a mastermind, a human design mastermind. So it was just a really deep healing experience getting to know all these other people interested in human design. I still talk to these people all the time. And being able to immerse myself in the knowledge in a really intensive, beautiful way. And starting to see things a little bit differently about myself as a reflector teacher. It was, I think, about a month. Probably not even a month after we last recorded that I made the decision. It was like I had been thinking about it for multiple 28-day cycles. Like it had been in my mind. And then all of a sudden one night it just clicked and I was like, I'm leaving. And I think it was this realization, you know, I've been putting pressure on myself. I had just gotten my MEd in 2021. And it was like, there was sort of this pressure I was putting on myself that I needed to do this for at least 5 years. That was kind of what I was telling myself. You need to do this for at least 5 years just to get your money's worth, sort of thing. And what I started to realize is that these like this pressure I was putting on myself to fulfill this goal was not serving me, because at the end of the day, I wasn't happy. Like I remember when I told my parents I was leaving the classroom, they were like, oh, we're actually not that surprised because you complained about it all the time. I wasn't happy. I loved the students, I loved the children, and yet that's just not enough to like it's so much more than that. So I wasn't happy. I didn't have any time for myself. I was so exhausted on the weekends. I would spend all of Saturday like sleeping on the couch just because I had nothing left to give. I would get up on Sunday and like relax for the morning, but then I'd be right back to lesson planning for the week. And so it was just, there was no time for me. And that's honestly just the story of what it's like to be a teacher in the Western world at this time. I can't speak for other parts of the world, but like in the West, in the US specifically. And being a reflector on top of that, like, whew. And it just all made sense. It just clicked in one night. I was like, this is it. This is the end. There's more for me. I'm worth more than this, than making myself miserable just to get my money's worth in my master's degree.
Yeah, I love that. You're worth it. Like that define, that's it. There's a really defining moment of just valuing your worth, because as you say, like we can get caught into that. Again, it's all about deconditioning, isn't it? It's finding who we are. And in this process, from what I'm hearing from you, it's just like more finding of who Britta really is and embracing her and what works for her. That's what I'm hearing. It's just like, I matter. I'm a priority. My health and happiness is a priority. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just being a reflector in the classroom, it was such a trip. I can't even like describe it. I had a conversation with my admin. I think it was the same day that I told them I was leaving, where they were like, last year we noticed that your classroom management got progressively worse as the year went on. And we're noticing this is happening again, and we don't understand why. And me being the reflector, I was like, this makes total sense. You have 24 kids in a classroom with a reflector. They're literally deconditioning the whole year that they're in my room. And no wonder that it's not anything I'm trying to do. I'm just existing. And they see themselves in me. They see who they really are. And I think there's such a beauty in that. But at the same time, that's not what the traditional public school system is looking for. They're looking for, you know, teachers that can hold down the fort and lead a class, and not teachers who are going to actively decondition the kids all year long. So it was such an interesting experience. And I beat myself so much about, especially my first year, about my inability to lead a classroom, quote unquote. And then, you know, having these discussions with my friends from my mastermind and like getting more into this world of HD, and just it became clearer that it was a gift that I was giving to my students to an extent. And yet I also knew it wasn't sustainable for the long term. And it also wasn't something my school was looking for the long term.
Yeah. And I can completely feel that, because it's not just your children. As you were just saying there, they're like deconditioning right in front of you as well. You're also still deconditioning, and it's just like a double hit of trying to wade through your own deconditioning process as well as supporting everybody else. It just, the branch has got to break at some point in a way. Hey, not break, but you were divinely corrected, friend.
Exactly.
You were just divinely pivoted into a different path. So you were doing this mastermind, and you were doing that with Emma Dunwoody.
Yes.
And that's about 6 months, isn't it? Her
It was 3 months.
All right. Yep. And you also went on retreat with her. So you've had a few immersions, yes. Human design immersions as well, which would have been amazing.
Yes. Yes. It was. And yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I also work as her reflector coach in her HDX community, which came from the mastermind. It was like, we want to bring you on the team. And I was like, surprise and delight. Okay. And so that was a really cool thing that I got. I mean, I'm still doing it. However, it was really cool to do while I was finishing off my year in the classroom, because I got that job in like December of 2022, and I left the classroom in June of 2023. And so that was just a really cool thing to be able to do in my spare time, because, you know, my 1-4 profile was like, I get to go and share my knowledge with this community. This is so fun. And so that was such a balm to be able to do that, to go into, you know, when I wasn't teaching, to go into that, to that group. It's on Facebook right now. And to just share, and continuing to lean into that after leaving the classroom too. But yeah, I have been on retreat with her. I went to Tulum in September with her. And that was really cool, to just be in community with lots of fellow human design people. And I was the only reflector there, and it was the majority manifesting generator. So I was just like amplifying all of that. And it was really fun, to be like in a space learning with like-minded people, beautiful location. And in terms of just the mastermind itself, also, like, that was very much online, like we were doing it on Zoom. And yet I have maintained some really close friendships from that group. Some of them I've met in person. One of them went to Tulum as well. Like I message a couple of them, but like pretty much daily up to this point. So it was this really big blessing for me, and that I really didn't have any people to talk about this with, that felt like my community, because like as a fourth sign, it needs to feel like they're my people. And so I didn't really have that until all of a sudden I remember the night that I chose to sign up for the mastermind. I remember having this feeling like, if I don't do this, my life is going to suck forever. And that's, you know, that's a very dramatic statement. And yet it was something that I felt deep in my bones. And I signed up, and of course everything changed, and it was really what put me on the path to leave. And so having these beautiful connections with people across the globe who are into this stuff, it's so supportive, and it's been such a balm to my soul. And I'm just forever grateful for making that choice to join the mastermind with Emma, because my life is so different. I mean, it's not different because I live in the same place, and like there's so many things that are the same, and yet everything is different.
Yeah, you're different. I really love that. And I love what you're saying about just being in space, being in aura with others, you know, where you can really just talk about it, because, you know, sometimes you just want to talk about it a lot, don't you? Your experience and what you're doing. And so being invited, I suppose, into that fold as a using your teacher skills as well would have just been such an honor. I know it would have filled me with, you know, such joy to be, oh my gosh, I have a voice, because there's a lot of that with reflectors, isn't there, that we don't feel that we're really heard.
Yeah.
But to have that community around you, oh, beautiful.
I do feel like I'm heard in the community. I feel like people take me seriously. And even being on retreat, you know, I remember telling Emma and Taylor works for Emma's COO, I think that's the correct terminology. I remember being like, I'm not going to get up at 6 o'clock for the meditation, because I need to sleep in. And I was like so afraid to like tell them that, because I was like setting a boundary for me. And they were like, oh, that's fine, whatever. Like, I was just like, just accepting me for who I am, and, you know, needing to have more rest, especially like I feel like these last 7 months I've just been resting so much, because I'm like,
yeah,
like decompressing from a lifetime of teaching, and not having that rest. And so just feeling like I'm respected for who I am, for my process, for, you know, if I need to sleep in a little bit later than the other people, that means I missed something. Like, nobody cared. It was because they knew my design.
I absolutely love that, because again, getting back to that, it's like when we humans, regardless of type profile, whatever, are just felt seen and heard, and we can talk about the things that really bring us joy. And in this moment in our lives, human design brings us joy. You know, other spiritual modalities, they bring us joy. And when we feel we've got to censor ourselves because of the people we're around, it kind of blocks that energy flow. Like I feel that within Absolutely. My body. The more I'm evolving and more I'm tapping into Annie, as you are with Britta, it's the more we're like, I know that energy can't be blocked anymore. It needs to freely flow. And so immersing yourself in these cultures or with people in person and really experiencing lived design, and I guess you would have had the taste of that. It's like you can talk to people online, but we're still in a way putting our best foot forward, you know. But then when you go and retreat with people and you're all allowed to be who you are, it's like you get a crash course in lived experience. And you would have just been, well, I imagine, because that's what we're creating over here as well, but it's just so immersive, and it's like, oh, I really get how this works now.
Yeah, it was just so beautiful. It was so powerful. It was so potent. And it's hard to put into words an experience like that, because sometimes I feel like language doesn't do life justice. And yet it's just, it has left me wanting more. And I totally agree with you. Like the more I evolve, it's like the more I want to seek out experiences and people who are kind of on my level of understanding and who kind of get where I'm at. And it's like, who am I investing my time in? Like, do I really want to invest time in people who aren't like on this journey with me? And obviously there are some like people in my family who aren't on the journey with me and stuff. I still love and respect them. So it's not like I completely shut people out, but there is also a discernment about like, where am I putting my energy?
I love that. So we've resigned or we've moved on from teaching. You've trained quite extensively in HD, and you've also done some Akashic Records training as well. When did that happen? Have I got the timeline wrong? Share with us that.
Well, so HD came first, and the Akashic Records were in my awareness they had been in my awareness for about, well, I don't know. It was summer of 2022 when they came into my awareness, and I was really interested in them. Like I had had a really big interest in past lives, just like things in this current lifetime that I couldn't explain, fears that I had made no sense. And I was like, feel like the past life thing is where this, it felt like a natural thing for me to go to. And so I heard about the Akashic Records and I was really interested, started listening to a podcast about it, kind of delved deeper into some spiritual like experiences, like getting into my intuition, and connecting deeper to my intuition. And I opened my Akashic Records for the first time last March. So it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it's been forever.
When so, you open the door, when you're ready, it's like, boom, here we are.
And it has been such a beautiful experience. I love the storytelling of the Akashic Records. Gate 56, which I know is your son, is my core moon location in the gene keys, and so there, like, there's this love of storytelling and just like the enrichment and excitement of it, and just what you can discover from them. They so many powerful things can come through the records. And I got a download of light language from my Akashic Records, which was crazy. And I've been doing the records and I do human design together. And that's where, like, after I left the classroom, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I'm just like playing it by ear here. Like, let's be fluid. And so I left the classroom at the end of June. I like basically rested for all of July. And then at the end of July, I started making my website, and it just ended up being both of these modalities together. And the rest is history. So, but yeah, the Akashic Records have been a really great support. I feel like it's a really, like, this storytelling is so nuanced, and I love going to the records. It's so much fun.
And you know what? It's been so inspiring, that journey of yours, because you and I have had a couple of chats about the Akashic Records, because I think it was 2018 or 2017, I had an Akashic Record reading, and I think I shared that with you. And I went into that space too of going, oh, well, I want to learn, you know, because properly at that time, I'm like, I want to learn. And so I was. And for the last couple of years, I've really been immersed in human design and the gene keys and other things that I do here. But watching you and the Akashic, it allowed me to go and oh my God, that's right. I've got that document, and bring it up and sit with it and kind of weave myself back in there. So it's been a true inspiration. And I love that you've mixed them together, because it was like, oh yeah, that's actually really clever. And so enlightening for a client to experience that kind of depth. So thank you for being an inspiration in that space.
You're so welcome. And I think it's been really good for me as a conscious first line. It is so easy for me to get stuck in the knowledge. I've been called out. Emma called me out on it at the retreat. She was like, you do not need to look at your chart anymore, Britta. I was like, I feel so seen. It's so easy for me to get stuck in the knowledge. And so having the two different modalities kind of helped me, like, not just get stuck in one, and like being able to utilize both of them together helps me kind of see the nuance and see the story, and not just be like, oh, this is my human design, or oh, these are my Akashic Records. And also just learning to balance using them as a tool and not getting stuck at them, because that's been a big journey for me as a conscious first line, to really step back and allow myself to step back from human design and the records, that they don't define me. And that's also something that I think is really important that I like to share with my clients too, is that like, these are tools, and I've been there. It's easy to get stuck in them. And yet if you get stuck in them, they just become as harm. They can become harmful, just like anything else in too much, when, if you're doing too much of something.
Yeah. I love it. So how's it been for you? Obviously, you know, people often say that first year of business can be the hardest. Have you found that it's been received very well by people? Have people sort of jumped on board and supported you as best they could?
I think it's been received well by people. I have been learning how to be a business person, because I don't know how to do that, and I'm learning. And so I think a big thing for me has been learning learning as I go, like what should I be doing? How should I be interacting with people? I have a third line in my Mercury. And so a lot of this is just like, oh, I'm communicating and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm figuring it out. And I think at the start of my business, the biggest thing for me, the biggest hurdle I had to get over was just accepting that this is what I was doing, because I was so afraid of judgment from my family and from other people around me, from friends. And to just open myself up and be like, yeah, this is me. And, you know, if you don't like it, too bad. And, you know, there's still times where I feel kind of that anxiety, but it's way longer way than it was back in August when I launched my website. And so that was a big hurdle to get over, to be like, if I want people to take me seriously, I need to take myself seriously, and I need to really honor who I am at my core. You know, I think I remember sharing on the first episode that I was on, how it took me a while to get into human design because of the whole raw channeling on LSD and Ibiza story. And here I am now channeling the Akashic Records. It's like, you know, I've come such a long way from that really skeptical young Britta of a few years ago. And yet being able to own that and be like, yep, this is me, and you don't have to understand it, but this is what I'm choosing. This is how I'm choosing to make my income. And that's been a big part of the journey. And then, you know, just learning how to interact with people in business and being able to ask for help and being able to ask for support and like reaching out to people that I do know, like, and saying like, hey, will you be interested in collaborating, or, you know, can you support me? It's been a work in progress.
It is like that. It really is. It's just like, somehow we've come up with this notion a lot of the time that we've got to, oh no, I've got to have my crap figured out. And I can imagine what you were saying there with your first line and even the complementary effects of both of these modalities, because even though human design, when you're giving readings, for example, it can be quite heady. It can be a mental process because you're teaching in a way, or you're mm-hmm. mentoring. But the Akashic Records is an intuitive kind of more, it's allowing you. So I love that it's kind of like allowing you to go, well, hang on a second, you can't have one without the other. So here we go. Let me allow you to get more into the body and your intuition. I love it.
Yeah. And that is also like the Akashic Records have really helped me get into my intuition, because, you know, there is that part of me with my conscious first line that is like, is this real? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying things, and really trusting that what I'm saying and what is coming through is meant for the client and or for me, if I'm sharing like for myself. And so I do really appreciate, like, I can get in my head about what comes through the Akashic Records. Oh, for sure. And yet also recognizing that doing the Akashic Records helps me get out of my head and really trust the process of my intuition.
Yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Another one, another gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, indeed.
So wonderful. Now, I want to ask you as well, how, for those that don't understand the Akashic Records, like a lot of people understand human design, how does that work? Could you just share with us how does it work?
That's a beautiful question. Well, the Akashic Records are, they're an energetic library of sorts. So you can imagine that however you like. I kind of like to imagine a like library up in the ethers where everything is stored. And basically it's this idea, and people have been working with the Akasha for centuries, for millennia. This is not a new thing. This is a very old thing. It's basically this idea that every thought, experience, emotion, action that you've encountered, that you've had in this lifetime and in past lifetimes has been stored in the records. And so if you are curious about anything that's happened in your past, you can go and access them. There's also beautiful guidance for present day, and if you're looking for guidance into the future. Now, the way I've been taught, the way I've experienced the records, is that the future is not set in stone. So you can get guidance from the records about the future. And I've been shown images of the future in my records and other people's records. And yet that doesn't mean it's going to happen. You have to be willing, like, to do the work. If you want to get to like your quote unquote highest timeline, you have to be able to, there are things you need to do in the present to get to a timeline that you might want to be on. Slash, if you're being shown a timeline that you don't want to be on, then you can fix it. So the Akashic Records are a lot about, you know, taking responsibility. You have agency in your life. And this beautiful energetic library. And the Akashic Records will only ever tell you what you're ready and able to hear. And so if people are hearing about this and there's any fear about it, because people can get like scared about, you know, oh, I don't want to know what I've had people tell me, like, that feels scary, like learning about past lives, or that feels scary learning about the future. And I mean, if that scares you, then I guess you don't have to go into the records. And yet there is also an invitation to know that they're not going to tell you things that you're not ready to hear. And actually, they've told me that before, where I've tried to like ask about something specific in the future, and they'll be like, you're not ready yet. Mm. Or just be surprised and delighted.
I've had that, been like, nope. Nope.
Not the time. Not the time, Britta. Wait a second. Hold your horses.
And you go into a meditative state for this. Obviously, do you do it live with your clients, or do you it as a reading? Yeah.
I offer like Zoom sessions. Lives, and I have, so I say a prayer. I learned a prayer in the community where I learned to speak the Akashic Records. However, I channeled my own prayer in this last January, so January 2024. Mm-hmm. And so I used my own prayer to enter the records. It's pretty lickety split for me. And then you get in, and I say, you know, ask for all the angels, guides, guardians, everyone for a highest and truest good only. And then we get into the messages.
Fantastic. I love it. I want to say I'm really proud of you, but it's more than that. It's just like, it just gives me warm fuzzies when I just get a snippet of people, you know, living their truth. And I'm sure it's been, as you say, it's been met with some challenges as you navigate business, but you're doing things that bring you joy.
There's been some challenges navigating business, and yet it's really leaning into just the time of being a reflector and trusting the process and believing in my heart and soul that I will be met with surprise and delight if I continue to trust and go down the road as it feels aligned.
I love that. Good
easier
on you.
Said than done some days.
So for those interested, those beautiful listeners of ours that are interested and want to learn more, can you tell them how they can find you and if you've got any offers at the moment that you'd like to share with our beautiful reflectors?
I do. So I'm at alignedandundefined.com. You can find me on Instagram at alignedandundefined. I offer human design sessions. I offer Akashic record sessions, half hour and hour both. And then I have my most favorite session, which is my combined session, where I do a half an hour of human design and then an hour in the records. And what I've learned is that when you know someone's human design, a lot of times like stories will come through about why certain elements of their chart are the way they are. I've channeled through reflectors, why they're reflectors in this lifetime, which is cool. A lot of times the nodes will come through in past lives, other elements of the chart as well. And so it's just that beautiful nuance of doing them together. For that session, I do ask that people have at least a background in human design, because I don't want to spend a bunch of time going over strategy and authority and then go into the records, because it really is more of the meaty part of the human design that comes through in the records most of the time. So that's where you can find me. And I do have a discount code for listeners of the Reflector Reflections podcast. So if you put in aligned reflectors at checkout, you can get 20% off of a session with me. Obviously, if you're listening to this and you're not a reflector, you can still use the discount code. And also, you're awesome for listening to this podcast about reflectors.
There's other people that come on occasionally. Oh, that's brilliant. And you know what?
I know, the questions, I've seen.
I know for me, and I have, like, because I've had my reading done, like I've had a big reading done, my Akashic reading done, I've always been hesitant to have another actual reading done, because I'm like, ooh, it could be different. And then I'll get very skeptical about it.
Yeah.
But I've had to sort of like, go, oh, that's it. Cause I'm interested again, you know, in the last year since you've been doing, I'm like, oh yeah. So I was saying, I really should get my Akashic records done again. And I'm like, but what if they deviate from what was, I'm just being honest that these thoughts have gone through my head. So they're probably going to go through somebody else's head too, that, maybe the foundational reading that I had does not impact any future readings that I would have by somebody. And it's really beautiful, as is getting somebody else to read your chart sometimes, fellow reflectors. They bring a different energy and they can see things sometimes that we can't. I think it's fun. Us reflectors all get together and we look at each other's charts, the same as the Akashic records. Do you
agree? I love doing readings for other reflectors. In terms of your question about, you know, that's that first line. I was like, are you sure this is real? I don't know about this. I would invite you to trust. I would invite you to see what comes through. I did a reading for someone earlier this week, and she shared with me an experience that she had in a past life regression. And she told me about it, because she was like, I want to know more about this lifetime. And sure enough, I was brought to that lifetime in her reading. And so it was like, she had this experience in the past life regression, and here I was getting more information about it and telling her more of a story about what it meant for her. And so I will say that I have had the records, like, in terms of, and I'm not saying this to like make you more skeptical, but I'm just kind of showing you how the records work, and that the records can be playful. And I have had experiences in the records where they've told me things will happen and then they didn't happen. And I went into the records and I was like, you lied to me. Why did you lie to me? We didn't lie to you. We didn't lie to you. You just, you know, you needed to, that was what you needed to hear at that time to keep going. So, I mean, I think sometimes they can be a little bit cheeky. And also, I've kind of learned that if I'm going into the records like really needy, like because I can go in any time I want, like if I'm like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? They'll be more likely to play with me because they want, like they've told me, they've said, sometimes it's better to just live your life. You don't need to be in the records all the time. There's a reason why you have a body on this earth. And, you know, sometimes it's better to ask a friend for advice on earth than to come to us because they're living their earth experience too. And so it's also just learning to be really just like discerning when about when to use the records. And they're great. And I highly encourage anyone who's interested to go into the records. And yet also just knowing that they can be kind of cheeky and and just fun. They can be fun and they like to play with you a little bit because I also think that they don't want us to take life too seriously.
Yeah. I love that. I just sharing very briefly here, had an experience very similar to that. I've always had this really, ever since I can remember, visions and dreams and things of massive walls of water coming and the sounds, and it's always just haunted me. I've woken up with nightmares most of my life. Now, I've always had a very huge interest in Atlantis and ancient cultures for this reason, and I've kind of always known that it's been there. And I've been obsessed ever since I was a young girl, going to the library, looking at everything. Anyway, but I've never been able to really get to it, really get to what this body sensation is. And here's how you inspired me, because when I started digging back around in my Akashic records again last year, I sat with it and I'm like, can I understand this a little bit more of why it still haunts me? Like, I can accept that it's fear and memory from a past life, but why? And I was actually shown this memory, but not in a memory, of why that guilt, fear, and shame happened because of some really dodgy shit that had happened back at that time. And there was a lot of that shame and anger and guilt. It was all these emotions that were really in that moment. And here I've been dragging this stuff around. So it just keeps coming in. But I was also then guided, it also needs to be just allowed to be. So I didn't have to do anything with it. I'm just kind of bringing my awareness, and I'm still doing that still to this day. Like even two nights ago, I had another little moment where I was caught in paralysis, waking up caught in paralysis of just like, here it comes again. And I could hear the roar. So it's very real. It sounds psychotic. Yeah. I know anyone listening to this would be like, well, she's batshit crazy, but it's like, this shit happens to me a lot. And so it was like in that moment, because I had taken some time to sit with myself, I'm like, Annie, this just, you are safe. You are safe here. This is just something that needs to come through your genetics, your DNA needs to be, it needs to be kind of like, anyway, that was actually not a short story, but
no, it's okay.
It was just, that's how beautiful this work that you're doing can be for people, and how, you know, I did that myself, and I'd love to sort of like, again, listening to you, it's like, yeah, I could really sit and have this beautiful chat with you about that. And you kind of like explore for me, because we can get a little bit caught in our own emotion of it. So again, it's helpful to have other people kind of go, okay, let's see what I can see. Anyway.
Well, yeah. And it's just like, one of my friends, we exchange readings for each other, and like having, it's like, I get stuck in my own emotions too. And sometimes I get too close to something. And so like, it's so, like, even if you are listening to this and you also read the Akashic records, like have like, it's like therapists need their own therapists. Like, right. It's like, we need that support too. And so you're absolutely right. That just having somebody else go into your records and like be so detached from it is, it's such a beautiful service. And like, if anyone is wondering why the Akashic records, why should I think about getting a reading? It really is just, you know, having the story, having the explanation of why. So Annie, I'm gonna you share a quick your experience. I am gonna quickly share an experience that I had. I have had a fear of authority my whole life. I have no reason to be afraid of authority in this lifetime. Interestingly, crossover rulership is all about authority. Hello. And I remember very, very little, when I was 2 or 3 years old, I had a dream that the police were coming to get me for no reason. And I was terrified. Like, I woke up from that dream terrified that the police were going to come and get me. I'm 3 years old. Like, this is the scariest thing. I've always had a problem. Well, not so much anymore. I've worked through it, but when I've always had a problem with covering my nose and mouth. And during the pandemic, I had serious mask anxiety where I would like have panic attacks. And I was able to put this all together in exploring my past lives, that I was a Holocaust victim and I died in Auschwitz in the gas chamber. And so no wonder I'm afraid of authority. No wonder I'm afraid of the police coming to get me. And no wonder having my nose and mouth covered makes me feel claustrophobic. It all makes sense. And when you can have the story, and when you can understand that you're safe in this lifetime, that's not real anymore, it makes it easier to let it go. And it might not go away. Like you said, Annie, it still takes time, and you still have those moments. But just the awareness that this doesn't belong to me anymore. This is old soul shit.
Yeah.
It's very healing.
I'll put that on a tote bag. I love it when people say something and I'm like, yeah, old soul shit. Hashtag. I
hashtag
love it.
Old shit.
Oh,
all right. Well,
I think I should start
starting
like
a trend here.
Yeah, I need to start. You know, sometimes when people say, I'm like, oh yeah, I could see that on a tote bag. Old soul shit.
I like that. I don't know.
Just release.
I got
old
I have
soul
good
shit.
Ideas sometimes. What can I say?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back on, for sharing the work that you're doing, to give us an update on you. It's just, as I was saying to you, you're the first of the original guests, and it's number three. And it's like, oh gosh, maybe we'll do this again in another year. You never know.
You never know
what we're
could
doing
be number
in a
four.
Year.
You never know. We are fluid and we are going to see where life takes us.
Isn't that the best gift of sort of discovering human design and being a reflector, is just really getting to that space of going, it's okay for me to just change and move and adapt, and who knows what I'll be doing next year. And instead of it bringing fear, it brings excitement. Do you find that? You're just like, oh,
it
well,
does.
Who knows?
It does. And I've been leaning more into that because I've been learning, like, I've been really learning even the last few weeks, like, where I'm pushing myself just to feel like I'm doing something. So that's been showing up a lot for me on social media. Like, I feel like I have to post because that's doing something, and that's my conditioning. And just like allowing myself to step back and be like, no, I don't have to post on social media if I don't want to. And I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. I mean, obviously I have to live and I have to survive. And like, there are things I need to do to make sure that I'm bringing in money and having my business be successful. And yet also deeply trusting that it's all gonna come together in aligned timing, and I'll be surprised and delighted along the way. And like, if I'm forcing things, it's not resourceful.
Yeah. And you've got some beautiful boundaries around social media, which you've shared before. I don't know if you're still doing them, but you just go, no weekends are mine. I'm like,
nope, no weekends.
Yeah,
I haven't been on in 2 days. It's really like, when I posted that post, which I think you're referring to, it was like very structured. It was like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I was like, that doesn't feel right anymore. But I don't go on the weekends at all. And I just kind of feel into the rest of the days. Because it does get really draining. And it's also really boring. I find it's really boring if I go on and like, it's like there's nothing new. And I'm just like, this is the same stuff that I saw yesterday.
The same complaining. It's the energetic drain sometimes, isn't it? If you do and fucked if you don't, social media. It's like,
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Britta. Do you have anything else you'd like to share just before we wrap up? Just giving you the floor.
I have nothing else to share, but I could do a really quick collective reading for your audience if you feel called to that.
Let's
it
go.
could be like it could be like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I think that'd be yeah.
Because I'm excited right now, and I'm feeling the energy of
right.
going into the records.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'll just ask what are the I'll open the records for the audience of the Reflector Reflectors podcast. Doesn't matter when you listen to it. It's gonna if you're listening to it, take what resonates, leave the rest. I'm gonna close my eyes now. Akashic records are now open. What do you need to know? What do you need to know? What do you need to know? Oh, dear reflectors, and all the other people who are not reflectors listening to this. Doing you, keep doing you, keep doing you, keep walking the path. Trust, 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 trust. You reflectors, keep trusting yourself and keep trusting your process and know that you have value in this world. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way and know that you all have value. And even if you are bringing a quote unquote negative reflection to someone, know that there is value in all of it, and we are delighted to watch you walk on your paths. Take a moment of silence to appreciate all that you are in your very beingness. Keep walking the path, keep walking the path, keep walking the path. You are all serving the most important of roles in your own unique ways. Keep trusting that even if it seems that other people do not understand you and the reflections you are providing, trust that there is a purpose to them. And there are so many beautiful reflections as well, every single day from all of you. And to the non-reflectors listening, because we know you are here too. Keep walking your path too. Keep speaking your truth. Keep being your truth. For that is what this life is all about, is it not? Ooh, well, we know that Britta promised you a short transmission, and so we will wrap it up. That is all for now. We are most grateful to be in your presence. The Akashic Records are now closed.
Beautiful. Thank you.
So welcome.
I like the light voice. I feel that.
Yeah. And I guess anything else just for me would just be that it's never, I mean, given my journey for the past 7 months, it's never too late to change your path, to be fluid, to trust in the process. There's always possibility there. And the journey's not over.
Not over. Just begun. We've only just begun. Thank you, gorgeous. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Yes, it was so much fun. Thank you for having me again.